Welcome to the Refuge Recovery Podcast. Refuge Recovery is a Buddhist-oriented path to recovery from addictions. For more information, please visit us at refugerecovery.org.
Okay, welcome to the first Thursday Refuge Recovery World Services. Welcome to anybody joining us for the first time. Just a reminder that this is not a Refuge Recovery meeting. Meetings are peer led. This is an offering from the World Services organization where I give some instructions and maybe a little talk and answer some questions. The other day at the retreat, at the Refuge Recovery day-long retreat that we did, I led a loving kindness meditation that had this practice that we don't have in our refuge script, where not only do we state the aspirations for developing loving kindness, the traditional phrases, may I be happy, may I be at ease, may I be free from suffering, but we add two pieces to that, or kind of three pieces. We say the may I be, and I'm developing that aspiration, that intention, that practice of repeating those phrases. And then we say, may I do what needs to be done. And that acknowledgement that it's not a magical prayer wish, but an acknowledgement of the effort that it takes to develop a sense of ease in our lives. May I do what needs to be done? May I take the actions? And then the third piece, we say to ourselves, I am doing what needs to be done. An acknowledgement of the practice, the training, the effort that this is not a, I'm sitting here, I'm meditating, I'm training my mind, I'm trying to be kind, I'm trying to develop this wisdom, trying to heal, I'm trying to recover. I am doing what needs to be done. And sometimes we forget, we think, oh, I'm meditating and it's not working that well, or it's not working that quickly, or and it's really nice to bring these other phrases into the meditation as a reminder that happiness comes from our own actions. The peace, the recovery, the freedom that we're seeking, it comes from what we're doing. May I do what needs to be done? And then that acknowledgement, I am, I'm trying over here. I'm doing what needs to be done. I'm meditating, I'm going to meetings, I'm hopefully mentoring, being of service, I'm practicing abstinence. That acknowledgement of I'm doing what needs to be done. How quickly it works, we don't know. How quickly we get happy and at ease and free from suffering. It's a process for all of us, and we're all on different timelines with the wisdom that we're trying to develop, the karma that we're trying to create in our lives. It takes time. Not a quick fix. We all know that. So I had led it at the day-long retreat, the refuge day-long we did last Sunday. And somebody said, oh, that would be nice to have that script in meetings. And, you know, we have the same 17 meditations that we go through over and over. So, you know, there is that desire for some different, sometimes hearing the instructions in a different way can land, can be useful, can be helpful to switch it up a little bit. So I thought I'd lead the loving kindness meditation tonight with those added acknowledgments and in there, and then we'll transcribe it and we'll turn it into a script for people to use at peer-led meetings. We'll create a new script, guided meditation. And, you know, I guess this is our second first Thursday in 2025, since we're in February now, but Many people are reporting what a difficult beginning to this calendar year has been. A lot of people in my, I'm in Los Angeles where the fires, kind of tore through thousands and thousands of homes, neighborhoods. People lost their homes. Nationally, the political situation is really difficult for a lot of people and stirring a lot of people up. I think on both sides of the political views and opinions, and a lot of suffering. I mean, here we are in this world where there's always a lot of suffering, and studying this the teaching from the Buddha, the First Noble Truth, there's suffering. But sometimes it's more intense and more evident and more I don't know, collective suffering. Loving kindness is one of the antidotes so that we learn to respond with more kindness to each other, to ourselves. And seems like an appropriate practice for us tonight. I hope it feels like that to me. So I'll offer some meditation instructions for about 20 minutes or so, and then we can have some discussion after that. So find a way to meditate, find a way to sit, get your posture arranged in a way that feels comfortable, relaxed, upright. As you're ready, allow your eyes to gently close. Take a moment, settle into the body, into the meditative posture, releasing tension in the face, allowing the jaw to be slack, allowing the tongue to rest in the palate of the mouth, allowing the shoulders to fall away from the head as much as they can. Let gravity just release any of that tension in the neck and shoulders that can be released. So we begin the practice of loving kindness. Softening is an act of kindness, softening the heart, the belly, releasing tension in the body. And begin by reflecting on your own deepest wishes for happiness and well-being. The healthy wish, the healthy desire to not be harmed, to not suffer, to be free from suffering. This universal, natural, and healthy desire for happiness, for ease, for well-being. Bring an attitude of kindness into your heart and mind, friendliness, goodwill, radical acceptance. and begin saying in your heart and mind the loving kindness phrases, may I be happy? May I be at ease? May I be free from suffering? Remembering that the happiness that we seek is not one of constant pleasure, but more like contentment with what's happening, even in the midst of difficulty, pain, challenges. I have a core sense of happiness, well-being. The ease that we are aspiring to is not one of things being easy all of the time. But learning to be at ease with life, with reality, with this world. No matter what's happening, may we learn to respond in a way that we are peaceful, accepting, wise. May we be at ease. And the third phrase, may I be free from suffering? Understanding the causes of suffering being clinging, attachment, craving, aversion, resentment, anger, and the delusion of permanence and self-centeredness. And so, in a very practical way, as we say, may I be free from suffering. May I be free from clinging and aversion and self-centeredness. Important to understand what we're saying, why we're saying it in our meditation. May I be happy? May I be at ease? May I be free from suffering? If there are other phrases that feel loving and kind, supportive, utilize your own phrases, make the practice your own. These three aspirations are the traditional loving kindness phrases handed down. But it can be quite wise to come up with kind phrases that are meaningful to you. Although traditionally we would extend loving kindness to others, for this practice, let's just stay with ourselves. Developing a friendlier, kinder, more loving relationship towards our own heart and mind and body. Adding the acknowledgement part of the practice, where we say three aspirations with each, acknowledgements with each phrase. May I be happy? May I do what needs to be done to experience happiness and contentment and well-being? Taking full responsibility for our happiness, understanding nobody else can truly make us happy. It's based in our own actions, our wisdom, how we respond to life. May I do what needs to be done? And then the acknowledgement as we sit here meditating together, I am doing what needs to be done to experience happiness and ease and well-being. This meditative training of my mind, my heart, is the path to happiness. Likewise, with ease, may I be at ease? May I do what needs to be done to experience ease, peace, serenity? I am doing what needs to be done. Acknowledging the effort that we're collectively practicing in this moment. May I be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May I do what needs to be done to end clinging and craving, to end aversion, hatred, resentment. To end selfish, self-seeking, self-centeredness, I, me, mine mentality. May I do what needs to be done to end suffering in my life. And again, the acknowledgement, I'm doing it. I'm doing what needs to be done. This path of refuge recovery, the meditations, the meetings, the sangha, the service, the inventories. I'm doing what needs to be done to heal, to recover. To experience freedom. May I be happy? May I do what needs to be done to experience happiness? I am doing what needs to be done to experience happiness. May I be at ease? May I do what needs to be done to experience ease? I am doing what needs to be done to experience ease, to be at ease. May I be free from suffering? May I do what needs to be done to free myself from suffering? I am doing what needs to be done to free myself from suffering. Spending the last few minutes of the practice extending it to each other. The first two parts, may you be happy, may you be at ease, may you be free. May you do what needs to be done in your life, in your recovery. To experience happiness, may you do what needs to be done to experience ease. This encouraging each other, may you do what needs to be done to free yourself. May you let go, may you forgive, may you have compassion for your pain, the pain of others. Extending this loving kindness wish to all of the people in your life, in your communities, your families. And then in widening circles outward in all directions until we include all living beings. The Buddha said, radiate kindness over the entire world. To all of the confusion in this world, all of the ignorance, all of the suffering, may all beings learn to be happy. May all beings do what can be done to experience more well-being. This encouragement, this wish. May all beings find the willingness to do what needs to be done to be at ease. To free themselves from suffering by developing wisdom and compassion. May all beings be free. Lastly, as we end, there's a place in the Buddha's teaching where he says, we could search all realms of existence as we reflect on this world, and that we'd never find anyone more worthy of our loving kindness than ourselves. So, ending with this recollection, this remembrance, this reflection, you worthy of your kindness, of your love. And when you're ready, allowing your eyes to be open, coming back to seeing and moving and being part of the Zoom gathering. My understanding is that this attitude of loving kindness is a byproduct of long-term mindfulness. That if you practice mindfulness long-term and deeply, the insight will arise that all beings are worthy of loving kindness, and that nobody is more worthy of our love and kindness than ourselves. But the flip side of that teaching is that nobody's less worthy, and that this is the wisdom mind, the liberated heart, that has a sense of kindness for all living beings, no matter how confused, no matter how much harm they've caused, no matter how ignorant they are, still a loving and kind wish. May you be at ease. The outcome of the wisdom that meditation leads to. Now, rather than waiting for our mindfulness-based practices to uncover and reveal and organically produce loving kindness for all beings, we have this practice. We have this, maybe in modern terms, we'd call it a hack. It's a loving kindness hack, where we can actually create the neural pathways of friendliness to ourselves, friendliness to others, goodwill. May all beings be at ease. And as we did in this meditation, which I don't think we have a guided meditation of in Refuge, primarily, sometimes it's really useful just to stick with ourselves for the most part. So we did 15 minutes of loving kindness for ourselves, and then we only spent the last 5 minutes, including others, primarily developing loving kindness towards ourselves with this triplicate practice that's, kind of informs the heart and the mind. This isn't a prayer. This isn't, I'm not petitioning for happiness. I'm training my mind. And I'm acknowledging I'm responsible for my happiness. May I do what needs to be done. And I'm acknowledging the effort that I'm putting in. I am doing what needs to be done. And, so on all of those levels. So I think it will be useful for us to add. I know, I don't know, a couple years ago, I did a self-forgiveness first, on one of these teaching nights, and then that got translated and transcribed and has been popular in meetings, the self-forgiveness meditation that came out of one of these guided meditations. And it is useful, as I said in the beginning, to have some new instructions and new ways to think about the practice at times. So we'll edit this. We'll transcribe it and edit it and turn that practice into an offering in meetings that you can guide each other through and you can guide yourself through. So topic is loving kindness. I want to open it up for conversation, questions, clarifications, even, if people want to share about what that was like to practice in this different way, probably different for most. You can raise your hand in the reactions tab. And Erica, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to reflect, like, especially in the self-forgiveness, I have a tendency, I know, to be very hard on myself. So I love that there's a reminder that I am doing the work. I have a tendency to forget that I'm doing it as best I can. Like, and that is something I say to myself a lot. I am doing the best I can in this moment, and I am doing the work, and I'm not perfect, and that's okay. So I just want to reaffirm that I love adding this and I really appreciate it. And it has been profoundly impactful for my recovery.
Thank you. Yeah. Good to see you. Glenn, go ahead.
Thank you for the meditation. So I find myself in a nonprofit business, an LGBTQ nonprofit business, where I've been given the executive director's position and a lot of fear and suffering. I sense a lot of fear and suffering. And as the executive director, I am trying to channel love and kindness and to be the light, and that we cannot fight evil with evil or hate with hate. We cannot be resentful. But what can we do to shine brighter? And for this position that I hold, is that how can I bring this practice into the organization that not necessarily practices the principles of loving kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, but how do I navigate that so that we feel safe and that we start our meetings and believe that that is the core of our business? That's just, I wanted to ask if you could guide me with that.
I don't know if I can, Glenn. But it is the right, in my opinion, it's the right question. It's the right aspiration. It's the right intention. I can't give you specific, advice on how to implement that in your community. I'm sure you have to get some buy-in from the other people, but being in charge, there's certainly ways to especially, like, this is a Buddhist meditation, but there's nothing really very Buddhist about it. It's very much just about human emotional intelligence, and but it could be controversial depending on, like, even the statement of, like, I understand that I'm totally responsible for my own happiness. In refuge, that makes perfect sense, but that's maybe a pretty, it's a very Buddhist concept. On some level, it's not, a lot of people believe that, like, no, there's a, God's responsible for my happiness, or other people are responsible for my happiness, or, but I'm sure that there's a way to bring that into your practice and just kind of, I mean, I have heard people, like, we have all these guided meditations for refuge, and but they're freely offered, right? Like, you could take one of those guided meditations and read it at your board meeting, or your, why not? Like, you could share that with the people around you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Carol, go for it.
Hey, Noah, thank you so much. This is my first time with one of these sessions. I've been in refuge for a while and took a detour a few months ago, but I'm coming back. I have a hard time reconciling parts of refuge with the death of my daughter, which was 2.5 years ago. And even just with the meditation you did with loving kindness, that suffering comes from greed or aversion or, the things you listed. My suffering doesn't come from any of those things. Losing a child is a pain so deep, unless you live it, there's no way of knowing it. And I don't wish it on anyone. When my daughter died, a piece of me died. And I struggle with, and I know it's not just refuge, it's Buddhism, the impersonal, the impermanence. My daughter's death, in many, is permanent to me. It's personal to me. And I'm struggling to deal with those in relation to refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate you. I love Dharma Punks, by the way.
Thank you.
I lived all that before you did.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine you are aware that, what's being taught in Buddhism and refuge is that suffering and pain don't have to be the same thing. It's a very radical perspective that says it's possible to change, to experience pain without suffering about it. The loss of a child is never going to be not painful. That heartbreaking loss, there's nowhere that we're saying, if you get spiritual enough, that will not be painful. And it's really important, and maybe I don't do it enough and to remind, and I feel, it says it over and over in the book, pain is unavoidable. Pain plus resistance, aversion, hatred is what is suffering. And so there's nowhere that's saying, that third phrase in the loving kindness, may I be free from suffering, not saying may I be free from pain. May I learn to, don't think I said it tonight, but when we're saying may I be free from suffering, we're saying may I learn to meet the pain in my life with compassion. I think I did say that. Maybe with wisdom, with compassion. And the more we can meet it with compassion, the less suffering. It decreases suffering. Ultimately, I guess we hopefully we could get to the place where we have so much compassion for our pain, for that heartbreaking grief of loss, that we're just tending to that sadness and that loss and that grief without being aversive to it, resistant to it, angry, just compassionate, this is so painful. And I want to learn to care about how painful this is, to be tender, to be kind, to be loving towards this heartbreak, not the end of pain. It's a big topic, and I don't want to, you get to find your own way with it. It's also okay if parts of refuge or parts of Buddhism don't really resonate with you. That's okay. Take what you like. Take the parts that feel supportive. If you're kind of like, I don't want to hear about this end of suffering shit, okay. But is it helping support you in your recovery? Are there other pieces that are helping you? If you can't quite get your mind around some of the things, that's okay. It's really an open, hopefully an open offering. You don't have to become a Buddhist. You don't have to, any of that stuff. But what are the pieces that do resonate and are helpful and are feeling supportive of your recovery and your healing and your healthy grief process around this massive loss in your life? How's it helping you navigate your pain and your addiction and your recovery and all of that? And go with that without any pressure to believe all of it or agree with all of it. Or I hope that's useful, Carol. Hello, go for it, jump in.
Hey, how's it going? Just like Erica, I tend to be too hard to myself and I never see the work I put in, and I tend to not appreciate the time I'm spending meditating and doing the practice. And really, just by adding these two phrases, it really helps me to actually see what I'm doing. And yeah, it's a good little simple thing. It really does the job.
Sometimes the mind just needs those little reminders.
Oh yeah.
placing those, oh, I am doing it.
Yeah, I'm getting really frustrated. You know, you sit there for 30, 40 minutes and it's just shit, it's not fucking doing anything. But yeah, it really does the job. I don't know if I'm cutting off or you.
I think it's Noah's frozen. In the thinker pose.
Yeah, you're all moving in the little preview window, except for him.
Technical difficulties.
Am I back?
there you are, Noah. You're back. You need to put the spotlight back on again, though.
No? We'll leave it off. Where I think I probably. Oh no. So, anyways, we'll leave it. Amy, go for it.
Can you comment on forgiveness as a loving kindness practice? Does that make sense? Forgiveness is a piece of loving kindness, or vice versa, or both?
In the Buddha's teachings, you've heard me talk about this, and I know you're aware of this. In the Buddha's teachings on loving kindness, what's called the Metta Sutta, the teachings on loving kindness, there's three, you know, where he gives this instruction, may all beings be at ease, wishing in gladness and in safety. Those near and those far away, the young and the old, may all beings be at ease. And then he follows that up with, let none wish harm upon another or despise any being in any state. And both of those, you know, free from despising and free from wishing harm, how do we get there? How do we just, you know, despise resentment? Wishing harm, resentment, how do we get to that state of loving kindness through forgiveness? And so I on some level, you know, I went, when as I created Refuge, I went hard on the forgiveness practice as you know, as it says in the book, start doing forgiveness practice early and keep it in heavy rotation every other day in your practice, because I do believe that forgiveness is going to lead to more ease, more well-being, more freedom from the suffering of hatred and resentment and ill will. So they're very much connected. And I do think that actually, in order to really be loving and kind, we're going to have to forgive ourselves. We're going to have to forgive each other. Because the lack of forgiveness closes the heart. And the experience of forgiveness opens it into this potential of loving kindness. So interconnected for sure. Forgiveness as an act of loving kindness, forgiveness as a prerequisite to loving kindness. I don't know if we could look at it the other way too, loving kindness as an act of forgiveness. you know, in the meetings, we do the commentary-based practice of the five categories where we say loving kindness for ourselves, for our benefactors, for the friends and family and neutral category, for our enemies. And when we start sending loving kindness to our enemies, that is a practice of forgiveness. That's towards forgiveness. May even my enemies, even the most confused people on this planet, be happy, be at ease, be free from suffering, which is difficult for most, you know, it's difficult to say, hey, I hate you, but I hope you are happy. I resent you, but I wish you well at the same time. I heard the Dalai Lama one time talk about my friends, the enemy, having a friendly, still acknowledging I've got enemies, I've got resentments, I've got, you know, but I'm trying to be friendly and compassionate and loving and forgiving towards all of these people on this planet that I resent, that I judge, that I fear, that I hate because of their confusion or ignorance, or, you know, my perceptions of their confusion and ignorance. So connected very much. Dave, you can jump in and we'll have you be the last one.
Thanks for the meditation. I really enjoyed it. And I've really focused this past year on, you know, softening into things, the soft belly meditation that your dad writes about. And so much to the point where I was spending time with a group of people, and I was totally at ease with the situation that was kind of intense. And people around me took it as I just didn't give a shit. I don't know. Is there anything you can comment about how to handle that?
I guess it's the practice of not giving a shit what other people think about you. Right? Not giving a shit that you're being accused of not giving a shit.
Well, there is that.
Softening into that accusation as well. And, you know, I mean, I'm half joking, but maybe it is also, not everybody's going to understand us. Not everybody's going to agree with our views and practices and, you know, even this kind of idea of being free from suffering, I think that there's a lot of people that believe that actually you should be suffering. You should, you know, you should be angry. You should be outraged at the injustice in this world, not compassionate towards it. You shouldn't have a soft belly. You should harden up and go throw some bricks through some windows. I know that one directly because I lived in that mentality for the first half of my life. And I was also quite confused by this Buddhist view of nonviolence and compassion and forgiveness. And I thought that we had to be radical anarchists was my sort of political conditioning, which included fighting oppression physically and violently if necessary. And so I don't know about you, I'd imagine, Dave, that you can, and many of us can, relate to people not understanding, you know, like if you kind of met your, I don't know how to say this, but like if we met ourselves at some point, you know, like if my past self met my current self, I'd be like, oh, I don't get it. And it took me a long time. It takes a lot of us a long time to see, like, okay, I really don't want to suffer. And that mentality created more suffering in my life. It's like Glenn said earlier, that sort of like, we can't meet hatred with hatred. We can't meet, you know, violence with violence. It just makes it worse. But I didn't understand that before. And so, like, maybe your friends who are like soft belly, you should be, you know, they don't, you know, not everybody gets it. And so where I started with that sort of like, well, not everybody has to get us. Not everybody has to agree with us. Not everybody has to, we can also not take personal the praise or the blame of our existence. Easier said than done, but it's part of our aspirations. May I be at ease, even in the midst of blame and accusation and criticism and misunderstanding, feeling misunderstood. May I also be at ease in the midst of that and all of it. I'm going to leave it there for tonight. My niece is in town, and I'm going to go take her out to dinner. Good to see everybody. And join us for the third Thursday. This is the, you know, time once a month when I get together and I do some teaching. Third Thursday, you know, I show up and the rest of the people show up to talk about sort of what's happening in Refuge and have a kind of business open discussion. So join us for the third Thursdays as well. Some announcements. I see that. Thank you for your help tonight, Michelle. Appreciate it. She's put some in the chat, the Donna. I don't receive any financial compensation for this. This is my service to the community. But if you make a donation, it will help support the nonprofit. So please consider making a donation and being generous towards the organization that supports the program. And there's some upcoming retreats. Next one is in Oregon in just a few weeks, the first week in March, Manuka. And we have a weekend meditation retreat up there. There's a link to it there. And then in, apologize for anybody that was trying to come to the Texas retreat, that got canceled. We're not going to be able to do the Texas retreat this year. So then the next retreat is going to be March, and then May got canceled. So June, the conference, Cape Cod, you know, we promoted it as Massachusetts RefCon. But remember, it's not just Massachusetts, it's Cape Cod. So I hope you join us on, you know, on the Cape, as they say, for those. And we're going to do 3 nights and it's going to be fucking awesome and you don't want to miss it. So I hope that you guys can, everybody, as many people as can, will come. And if you can't afford it, you know, let us see what we can do for some scholarships and raising some money so that everybody. Last year, we had a very generous donor that was like, I'll pay for anybody that wants to go to the conference that can't afford it. Now, they haven't offered that yet this year, but maybe. Because we do really want it to be open and accessible to everybody, regardless of finances getting in the way. Okay, we'll leave it there. Offering the merit outward in all directions. May all beings be met with loving kindness. May we learn to meet ourselves and to remember our own worthiness of our acceptance and kindness and forgiveness and compassion. And together, may our recovery and our healing and our awakening create a positive change on this planet for the benefit of all living beings.
Refuge Recovery is freely offered. If you'd like to make a donation to support us, you may do so by following the link in the episode notes. We appreciate your generosity.